What's up, everybody? What is happening? What's going on? What's going on, man? It is the Sci-Fi Podcast, episode 102? No, 103. Is that episode 103? We're back and rolling. A lot of NBA news, and we're just going to dive right into it. Shout out everybody listening on Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud. No, it's not SoundCloud. Spotify and Apple and all the other weird podcast apps. Shout out to all of them. Let's get started. Melo to the Lakers. Okay. Cool. Fun. Entertaining. Who has, like, okay. Of course, yes, the basketball logistics of this is pretty weird. You know, Russell, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Melo. I get it. It's a weird just combo. Okay, cool. Okay. Let's get over that. Other than that, this is an exciting move. Exciting. I don't care, like, the whole analytic. I really don't. Only just because it's such an entertaining situation. And I think a lot of NBA fans lose sight of, you know, having fun. It's like, okay, cool. They might be bad, but, like, this is going to be just entertaining to watch. Whether they are 10 and 72 or 72 and 10, they are going to be the most watched team. And that includes me. Just because how is this going to work out? The only, like, the shining moment, the thing about LeBron, I hate how this is a, like, what he does. LeBron seems to be very good at adjusting to certain players. James Harden is also another one that adjusts his game very well to other players. James Harden's a very, I don't know, there's a few guys out there that are very, they can play multiple positions. So whenever somebody comes in who might be that particular position, the original player can move to another position to make way. You know, it's like, yes, Melo is a three. He's a shooting forward, small forward. LeBron's a small forward. But right now he's playing point guard-ish, shooting guard. But Russell's a point guard now. So LeBron's going to be this weird, like, shooting guard / power forward sometimes. And that's the really best part about LeBron's game, is just because he can adjust very well. And Russell Westbrook can also be a shooting guard at times. It's some of these players are, like, whenever you are multiple position, whenever you can play multiple positions, it enhances your game so much more. Melo is one of the few guys that Melo really, he only really has one position. Honestly, he's still kind of old school in that. I never really see him as a power forward. I guess you can throw him in a power forward position, but he's really a small forward. And also, it's positionless basketball nowadays. Just throw your best five guys out there, and they're going to make it happen. And also, I think they signed a lot of free agents for a lot of, like, good deals. I think, like, Malik Monk. There's a few other guys. But I saw something. I know NBA fans know, like, have seen this also. It was, like, Lakers signed five guys or something with this much money, but the Knicks signed one guy with that same amount of money. So, I don't know. The Lakers are kind of doing interesting things. I think they're going to be very well. I do think this is the first. Y'all heard me talk about this. Like, this is LeBron's, like, kind of retirement era. Like, he's really, you can see he's lost a step for sure. But his IQ, maturity, and, like, just, he's going to be a coach now, honestly. Like, he's going to be a coach, player coach in a way. And I think that can magnify his game just as much. The man's 38 years old or something. But it's going to be so cool to see Melo and LeBron, 03 draft class, playing in 2022. Crazy. I think a lot of people are, like, basically saying the Lakers are the retirement home. I saw the a comparison to the 04 Lakers, whenever the Lakers got Karl Malone and Gary Payton to go along with Kobe and Shaq. Very good comparison. This is honestly a very good comparison to that. It's crazy to see Melo enhance his, or like prolong his career a couple, 3-4 years, because 2 or 3 years ago, that man was getting run out of every city. I remember, 2018, Oklahoma City, he was not – he got ran out of Oklahoma City, and then he got ran out of Houston. And he went to Portland and then played good, played decent. That's all you can ask for nowadays, man. That's all you can ask for. Yeah, so I'm really excited about this Lakers team. Yeah, make the moves. Even if they seem crazy, try to make it work. It'd be kind of cool. I'm really excited to watch them. Let's see. The Chicago Bulls. They are very interesting. I'm not going to overreact and say they're going to be a top three team in the East. But they're interesting. You know, this isn't overreaction, but they're easily going to be a 7 seed at least. And that's saying a lot for the Bulls. If I were to predict, they will be a 6 seed next year. Because it's still like these guys, it's going to take a little bit to adjust. I think 6 seed is their average. I could maybe see them if they really spark it up, 3 to 4 seed. Because I was really disappointed last year with the Bulls because they, you know, LaVine was having this nice year, all-star, and then they got Vucevic, who was an all-star, and then the Bulls team got worse whenever Vucevic came through. It was very weird. I think when they got Vucevic, they were like 11, 12 seed or something, or 10 seeds. They were looking like maybe they were going to go in the play-in and get a higher seed, but they got worse and they didn't even play in the play-in. What is up with that? So I was like, okay, maybe this Bulls team is as bad. Like, there's just the organization from top to bottom. But then now bringing in Lonzo Ball, bringing in DeMar DeRozan, could be interesting. Could be. None of these guys are like superstars right now. I mean, LaVine has the potential. DeRozan's kind of been going down lately. Lonzo, apparently he's been going up. Like, he's been playing better. Half that I feel like is the pressure off being in LA and all that. But I'm happy for Lonzo, kind of like getting into his own frame and own era. The whole Lonzo Laker era was just so bad for him. Just being in the spotlight like that was not good for him. But yeah, the Bulls team, I mean, 6 seed. I mean, you still got to play the Celtics, the Sixers. They're good teams. Like, the Celtics are still that team. You still got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. The Sixers still got Embiid and Simmons. Like, don't let Trae Young fool y'all. The Sixers are still about it. The Nets, don't let the Bucks fool y'all. Like, you still got the Bucks, Nets, Sixers, powerhouse. You still got that. So, can they maybe take over the Sixers? I don't know, but I don't think so. Let's see. What else? Okay, shout out to USA Basketball. Congratulations. Take a moment of excitement. I will be the first to say, I doubted them. For real. I did not think they were going to medal. Did not think that whatsoever. And how can you not blame me? They lose what? Against Australia and Nigeria in like exhibition games. And then they lose the first game of the Olympics to France. It was their first loss since 2004. Like, how can you not blame? Like, how can you blame me for that? Like, not being like, okay, I think, you know, USA is not going to medal this year. And that's okay. Like, basketball is so international now, like, that would have been kind of, like, acceptable. And it just showed how much the game has widened. Like, that's not, like, I never say that as, like a demeaning aspect to USA basketball. It's just kind of the reality now. But they pulled it out. Like, it's very exciting. Kevin Durant. It's Kevin Durant time. That was Kevin Durant's Olympic moment. I mean, they barely won, too. So it kind of shows you, like, wow, they kind of eked past these teams. It was kind of cool. I think they beat Australia in the semis and then beat France. Both that they previously lost to, I think. It's exciting. I mean, I was telling my friend David the other day, I was like, okay, I'm not like, we've had this talk. Everybody's had this talk. Like, no one is ashamed. Like, no one hates whenever, like, something goes from their country to a global audience. You know, like, baseball has kind of merged to a – has always kind of been a global audience. And there's been kind of, like, remember the whole, like, Stephen A. Smith and Sheen and – oh, what's the guy's name? I'm not a baseball guy, so I have no idea. It's Sheen something. I don't know. Starts with an S. Whatever. Not a baseball guy. I have no idea. Sorry, butcher that. But I'm just saying a lot of people got on Stephen A because, like, international. That was a whole just whatever thing. Whatever. Not trying to get into that. But with basketball – being American, basketball is very American. Even though what David was telling me, like, it's like Naismith's from Canada, but you know what I mean. Like, basketball is American. I would compare it to, like, if the USA just started beating all these European soccer teams, like, they would feel away too, and I don't blame them. Like, that's their identity. So when, you know, America was losing all these basketball games, I was low-key like, yo, my, like, basketball American ego is taking a shot right now. I've always heard stories, like, you know, I always had that, like, arrogance with, like, how am I going to say this? And this is, everybody has their arrogant sport to them. But I remember, like, I don't know, with some of my friends from, like, international countries, basketball is always my favorite sport. So I'm always going to talk about it. So whenever I was talking about it, I remember, like, I felt like, man, this is my sport. Like, I felt a way. I was like, man, my ego is showing for sure. Because I was, like, spitting NBA knowledge. I was like, yeah, this guy's got traded to that guy, and they won. I think that guy's the best player in NBA history. Like, I felt like I had a automatic, legitimate opinion. Like, my opinion was better than all, like, every international opinion. And that's okay. Like, if your sport is dominant in a country, I think you can get an automatic opinion about it. Like, I'm gonna listen to a British guy or a Swedish guy or an Italian guy about soccer, because I'm gonna listen to that. All right, like, they get that opinion. As an American, I give my own basketball opinion. So, all to say, I was, like, kind of like, man, is that going to, like, hurt my basketball ego opinion when it comes to, like, my international community? Whatever. But all that to say, congrats to USA Basketball. Y'all gave me another 3 years to have a great opinion about anything when it comes to basketball. So, I'm excited. That was exciting. But, you know, it gets closer and closer every year. I mean, 2024, that's only 3 years away. Everybody forgets, like, Summer Olympics is popping up again in 3 years. Like, it's going to be a very quick turnaround. So, it's kind of cool. I mean, who's going to be on the 2024 team? Will Kevin Durant be on that team? I don't know. He might be too old at that time. And LeBron, I low-key, like, hope he's not going to, but, like, it'd be cool to have LeBron, like, a retirement, like, reunion. I know Kobe didn't even do it in 2016, so I wouldn't blame LeBron. It's the medals. LeBron did his what? He did his run. He did his service, so it's okay. What else? All right, I wanted to say this. We're gonna shift off from sports real quick. Tyler the Creator. Tyler, it is time to have that conversation. We're gonna have this conversation right now. Tyler the Creator. Okay. We all know the top three rappers of the 2010s. We all know this. Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole. But, you know, I've always kind of had the, who is the 4 and 5 and 6? Who is that? The four, I would always kind of say 4 and 5 would be Big Sean and Travis Scott. I think Big Sean kind of dominated the early 2010s. Travis Scott dominated the later 2010s. But, you know, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it, and I'm just going to move on. Tyler, the Creator, to me, has locked up that fourth position. Locked it up. When you say Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole, that next rapper better be Tyler, the Creator. And it's time. It is time. And, yes, it's difficult right now just because, like, you know, he had an album 2021. So I'm not talking about like 2010s anymore. It's hard to do that right now. So Tyler the Creator has been the best rapper the last 3 years. Since 2019, Tyler the Creator is the best rapper. Drake hasn't dropped anything in 3 years. J. Cole has dropped, Kendrick hasn't even dropped anything. So it's time to move on. This is the new school. Tyler is the top rapper in this generation right now, in this era. And I'm like, put Flower Boy, put Igor, and put Call Me If You Get Lost. Is that I keep forgetting this album name, honestly. It's such a, I get really confused. I think it's Call Me If You Get Lost. Let's see how to say this. Call Me If You Get Lost. Yeah. Put Flower Boy, Igor, and Call Me If You Get Lost with any other rapper's three albums, it can compete. You can take that to any rapper. Name any rapper. Biggie, Jay. Okay, not Jay. Okay. I'm not trying. I'm just saying like the normal rappers. Like when we think of like not the top five rappers, but I'm just talking about like from 5 to 15. It can compete. It can compete. And I know it's weird to say that, but it's time to say that. Igor is already becoming a classic album. Flower Boy's classic. Call Me If You Get Lost will be classic in a couple years. Like, I don't know, it always takes people, but I'm already saying it's a classic. I'm already saying it is. I watched his Lollapalooza performance. Amazing. Amazing. It's very interesting because I remember in 2015, I was like, Tyler, the Creator, I mean, he's been around, but he's not going to be like a top five rapper. Like I'm not going to put him in my like best rappers ever, but man, he's only 30 years old. I think 31 or 30, he's still kind of youngish, still kind of. So, and I keep saying it because it's so shocking even to myself, because like I listened to this guy in junior high. Like, this was the scary, he made that, like, scary music. Like, if music was a scary movie, it's Tyler, the Creator's music. Especially in 2010, 2011, he was talking about some wild stuff. Things I shouldn't have maybe listened to at 12, 13, but, like, it exposed me to, like, just how, like, life is. I'm not trying to deep. But I'm very proud, like in a weird way. I'm very excited that I think Tyler is the number one rapper right now, for sure. And I don't think it's a competition. Name Big Sean's top three albums. I can barely do that. finally famous. The one in 2017. The thing about Big Sean, he had a great start. A great start from 20, like the whole boy era, like 2010 to 2013. Amazing. But 2013, it's just after 2013, nothing happened. Like, he wasn't good. He got kind of corny, might I say. So, I think, what's that 20? I decided that's the one. So, if you can beat Big Sean, you know, it's kind of like, so, yeah, Big Sean, after finally famous and after Hall of Fame, nothing good. Dark Sky Paradise, sure. But that's not beating Igor, Flowerboy, and Call Me If You Get Lost. That's not. That is not. Travis Scott. I mean, okay, yes, we got Astral World. We got Birds. Okay, that's definitely a, you got Rodeo. I will say Travis Scott could compete. I'm not mad if somebody says Travis Scott's better than Tyler Creator. I'm not mad at that whatsoever. The thing about Tyler that I think Tyler doesn't have that significant song. That's the only bad thing I will say about Tyler. When I understand, like, if someone's like, I wouldn't put Tyler in my top whatever, because he doesn't have one song that, like, a 40-year-old would be like, oh, that's that guy that's, you know. I mean, with Travis Scott, it's Sicko Mode. Yes, it was the most annoying song in 2018. I loved it, but people found it annoying. But at the same time, that was his song. That was his iconic song. So that's the only con about Tyler. That's the only con. He doesn't have that boom song. He doesn't have that song that, you know, this clubby, this not comes on the club, like, but he's not that type of rapper at the same time. So it's very tricky. It's very tricky. He has a tour coming up. I think I might go see him on tour because, like, he's got to perform, you know, Igor, he didn't really perform that because of COVID and all that. So, but now it's kind of, you know, tour is kind of happening now. So he's going to perform Igor, probably Flower Boy, and then this new album, Call Me If You Get Lost. Amazing. So, I think the only song I feel like Tyler is like, no, I think Tyler is like number one song is Earthquake. But you know, that's no Sicko Mode. It's no Sicko Mode, but it's okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's time to put Tyler the Creator in your maybe all time rappers. Especially if he makes another album in 2 years, that's amazing. It's like, come on, y'all. It's time to put him in your top 10, top 15 rappers. Whatever. It's kind of interesting that Tyler is talking about the whole DJ Khaled situation now. I think he went on that Hot 97 radio interview for like an hour and a half. I was very surprised because Tyler doesn't really do interviews like that. He doesn't really, like, talk about drama like that. So I was very, you know, it was interesting. Like, I'm a fan of people who instead of talking about the drama, just kind of move on from it, because I feel like that's even more baller. I feel like that's even more gangster, just being like, you know, when the beef is happening, but you're not even, like, paying attention to it, but you're a part of it, but you're just, like, ignoring it. That's so awesome. I love that. But that's what Tyler, the Creator, did, you know, a couple of years ago with DJ Khaled. But, I mean, I guess he wanted to talk about it now. I mean, it's been 2 years, so it's fine. You know, the whole DJ Khaled and Tyler, the Creator albums came out the same week. This was Igor era, Igor. And Tyler beat DJ Khaled for the number one spot. That was when it was like, wow, Tyler has an audience. Because, you know, DJ Khaled, this icon, even though some people think he's corny, but at the same time, the man's an icon. He's been around hip-hop since 2003, 2005. So it was just very surprising, seeing as if, like, you know, Igor wasn't, like, super poppy or rap. It wasn't super rappy. It wasn't super poppy. DJ Khaled was very poppy and very rappy. So, and then DJ Khaled, I remember, recorded videos like, no one's listening to this Tyler, the Creator album in the clubs or in the car, blah, blah, blah. And that kind of really bothered me, too. That bothered Tyler. Like, I was very, I didn't like that at all. Because it just, like, just because a song isn't being played in the clubs, it's not being played in strip clubs, it's not being played in, like, drinking, like, it's just, that doesn't mean anything. Like, the world's bigger than that. Like, you can listen to music anywhere. It doesn't matter. So, I thought that was very old school of DJ Khaled, which DJ Khaled's been very, like, kind of popping. Like, he has reinvented his career. So, I was very disappointed in that comment of his. And I said this on this podcast during that time, too. But, like, Tyler didn't say anything, and I loved that. But it's been 2 years, he said, but he was just saying how, like, he was disappointed because, like, he should have known that. Like, he should have had that self-awareness already just because the song isn't being played in public areas, you know? So, Tyler even was like, yeah, DJ Khaled, that's his, like, identity, to be number one. No one cares about, like, number one albums anymore. Like, that game is so ugly. I know, like, the Migos thought they were going to lose to some other album that came out during that week. And they, like, added, like, six more songs real quick. Very trash songs, by the way. And it's just like, fam, stop making these 30-song albums just to get the number one spot. Like, for the music nerds, I feel like that bothers. For the public, whatever. But, like, that bothers me. It's just, like, it's ugly. It's just kind of, like, 30 songs? Just that you don't, like, it's just such a sacrifice. It's, like, give me 12 good songs and just cut the rest. It's just kind of wearisome and tiring. It's very tiring for me because I'm not going to listen to a 30-song album. I'm not going to listen to a 20-song unless you are, like, my top three artists or whatever. But it's just, I hate that game, and I hate just the streaming era a little bit. Like, that's the only part I hate about the streaming era. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I get the game, but it's ugly sometimes. What else?
What else?
Last thing. Drake and Kanye, the whole Kanye. Donda thing. The whole listening party era. I love it, man. I love this whole, it, like, brings people together. Kanye does his weird antics. The man was, like, having a live stream in his, like, room with a mattress and a desk, and he was, like, lifting weights and doing push-ups. Hilarious. I love it. But, you know, this is Kanye's time. I've always kind of heard a theory that, like, Kanye stays off all his medication when he's making music, so he's just, like, being so weird and random. I love it. So, of course, safety reasons, of course, but, like, just the whole creative process. Get off your meds, man. Just be all natural. Be normal. It's exciting. I mean, I've heard snippets. That Off the Grid song featuring Playboy and Fabio. Is it Fabio? Fabio. I love that song already. I heard it through a stadium speaker. Love the song. What else? Yeah, I'm excited for it. There is an underlying little beef, I think, still kind of going on with Drake and Kanye. You know, this whole Certified Lover Boy versus Donda, it's kind of interesting. No one talks about it. They don't talk about it. So people are like, you know, you sound crazy when you do talk about it. But look at the last 13 years. There has been underlying beef. And that's just how it is, and it's okay to have beef. It's not beef, it's just kind of like annoyance. Like, you, whenever you're like annoyed at a rapper, you're just kind of like, fam, like, give it up. Like, stop bothering me. And so you like want to stop bothering, that you like, you hate someone because he's so annoying. So you like do something that he hates. So like, y'all just annoy each other. It's one of those relationships. It's a brother. I think it's like a big brother, little brother thing. But like, you know, Drake was low key teased in Certified Lover Boy in July and August. Kanye pops up with Donda. I'm like, I really thought Drake's album was going to come out this summer. I did not think it was going to come out last winter when he said so, because like, that's not his vibe. I think summer and fall is his thing. So there's something going on. Drake has this album ready. I don't know what's going on. There's something going on. And I 100% believe that. There's something underlying. The fact that Kanye keeps postponing. Kanye wants to go at Drake. Kanye wants to go head to head. That's what he wants. And Kanye's not afraid to do that. He's annoying. And that would be a very, very interesting to see who sells more. That would be on the lines of like Kanye and 50 Cent back in 05. Or 03. Or 07. But this is different though, because Drake and Kanye, you know, 50 was low-key kind of falling off. He was kind of done. Like, his career was ending. Kanye was going. But, like, Drake and Kanye are kind of just classic all-time artists. So it would be interesting to see who would win. I don't know. I think Kanye low-key would win, because Kanye has a cult even bigger than Drake's. As a Drake fan, I will say that I think Kanye's cult is just different. Just different. Yeah, so there's something going on. Kanye is messing with Drake. That's what's going on here. It's exactly what's going on. So yeah, I think that's about it. It's hard to say. I'll give updates and everything. Yeah, that's about it, y'all. I think I'm out. Song of the Week and shout out. This was a good podcast. I was going in my bags. Song of the Week. I don't know. Song of the Week. I mean, SUVs, Black on Black, Jack Harlow featuring Pooh Shiesty. We're going to have another conversation about Jack Harlow. Y'all are not ready for me, my opinion about Jack Harlow. People, I've told people about this opinion. I've had this same opinion since December 2020. I can show you text messages. I said, Jack Harlow. Okay, I'm just going to say it low key. No, I'm not. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tease y'all. It's along the lines when I said DaBaby's the next JC, but I missed. I think DaBaby's the next 50 Cent. Still great, so, but something about Jack Harlow, I have a bold prediction, and I 100% believe it. Like, since I've had the same opinion since December 2020, so don't be that guy. It's like, oh, you're just saying that now because he's hot. No, I know he's on fire and everything, but I've had the same opinion. I've been a Jack Harlow fan since 2017. Look up text messages. All right, I get real defensive about my opinion sometimes about music. So, come back. Shout out song. Song of the Week. Shout out to the August September vibe. It's time to get back in the grind. It's time to get back in the fall. The summer was fun. We went yay pools. But now it's time to get heavy. It's time to get heavy right now. Schools are opening back up. Businesses are popping. It's time. It's time to get like focused and ready. I start my new employment next month. We're going to start booming. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you for watching. Have a great week and a weekend. And that's about it. Thank you for watching. Peace. Shout out to y'all. Shout out.